Take your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. You say, we've heard from this passage of Scripture quite a bit. Yes, we have. You know, sometimes I told you before that you get to writing one message and another one pops up and another one pops up and another one pops up. Just kind of how it works sometimes. So we're just going to go with it. We're going to be in verses 17 to 25 tonight in Colossians chapter 3. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. Colossians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 17. I'll read tonight for you and you follow along here. These verses from verses 17 through 25, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." We are going to talk about that wonderful characteristic of being diligent. Being diligent. The word that's used here in verse 23 is not the word diligent, but it is, if you will, akin to it, because he says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." And in the end of verse 24, he says, "For ye serve the Lord Christ." You know, when I think of serving someone, I think of what my mom always used to tell me about when she asked me to do something. She said, "When I tell you to jump, you say how high." Okay, she wanted me to get immediately on the task that was at hand. She wanted me to be diligent. All right, the Bible has much to say about the servant and diligence. We, as God's people, should not be sluggards. We should not be slothful in our business. We should rather, though, be diligent. Okay? How many of you at your work, your bosses appreciate you being diligent? Okay? Or how many of you, they do not appreciate you not being diligent? Okay? Right? Or maybe other people that work for them. All right? You understand that through the book of Proverbs and through other passages of scriptures, diligence is a positive characteristic. Okay? It's something that we need to exercise, being diligent. Diligence is simply steady in application to business. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily the fastest, but you're steady. Okay? Being diligent is just being steady. And in steady in application to business, constant in effort or exertion, and accomplishing what task is undertaken. Attentive, industrious, not idle or negligent. Okay? This is diligent. Now, we've studied this a little bit in our wonderful Word of God series. We studied the word diligent somewhat. But I wanted to kind of just focus the attention of this characteristic. You say, "Well, Brother Combs, does that mean that I'm supposed to just be nonstop in my Christian life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and a quarter days a year?" You didn't know there's a quarter day every year, right? We just make it up all at once, called leap year. Okay, if you didn't know that, now you do. All right, but well. Kind of yes and kind of no.
We do have to sleep. Sleep is okay, right? Is it okay with sleep, right? Or is it overrated for you? Okay? Not overrated for me, all right? Now listen,
and you have the verse that says, pray without ceasing.
Okay, does that mean we're all monks walking around the hallways with our arms in our sleeves, you know, meditating and... No, there's a work to be done, right? But there's an attitude of diligence. How many of you understand what I'm talking about when I say that there are people out there that have an attitude of diligence and there are people out there that do not? You all know what I'm talking about, okay? I like to think of it this way. People that are diligent oftentimes are what we might call internally motivated. All right? That means that they do it in and of themselves. It's just who they are. They're just kind of, they're always after something. They're always doing this task or doing this task or doing this task or doing this task. Okay? Then there's those people that are externally motivated. Get going. Get going. Get going. Okay? I mean, there's two kinds, right? And a lot of times in the Christian life, I don't think God wants us to be the kind that he has to constantly kick and kick and kick and kick to get going. He wants us to be diligent. He wants us to be steady. He wants us to be constant in effort or exertion, accomplishing what is to be undertaken, attentive, industrious, and not idle. It's not a Bible verse, but it's a good saying that idle hands are the devil's workshop, right? We're not to be idle. We're supposed to be about the Lord's work in our lives. So I just want to kind of help us tonight in just three areas that we can focus our efforts to be more diligent. Take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. Okay, Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to kind of connect some dots here tonight. You like connecting dots? I like to connect dots. Mrs. Wolverton was trying to trick me the other day. She asked me, Brother Combs, can you do this? And I said, well, yes, I can. I can do it quite well. Forwards, backwards, I can do it sideways, I can do it with my eyes closed. She's like, yeah, well, now we know what you do all day long. She was just teasing me, I hope. Give not sleep to thine eyes, verse 4, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, before you misunderstand here, I understand this is talking about being diligent in provision and laying up in store for things. But I want to connect a dot here, just mentally for us. You understand? What was one of the key words in this passage that kind of stuck out to you? Because in my mind immediately went to it when thinking about how can I be diligent in my life as a believer in Jesus Christ. The word that stuck out to me was the word harvest. The word harvest. When does the ant prepare? When she gathereth her food in the harvest. Now I understand that this is talking about physical food and such and so forth. But how about in a spiritual sense? Didn't Jesus spend a lot of time working with his disciples, trying to get them to gather the food during the harvest? Yes, he did. Hey, is there not a harvest out there? And are we not to be like ants, providing and gathering the food in the harvest time? We are to be doing a work, being diligent about the work of the harvest. In Proverbs 10:5, it says, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son,
But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Again, we're making a spiritual leap here. You understand? Okay? I understand the actual interpretation, etc. But we're talking about just a spiritual click here in our brains about being diligent. Does Jesus want us sleeping through the harvest? No, he doesn't. Does he want us out there working and being diligent and gathering in the harvest? Yes, he does. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus cares about the harvest. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Folks, we need to be diligent about the harvest. Do you know that people are dying and going to hell every single day? How about every single hour? How about every single minute? I don't know what the statistics are, but I was told at one time that, you know, it's several dozen people a minute that die. Maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's less than that. I don't know. But can I tell you something? It is true that the harvest is white already. It's ready. We should be gathering in the time of harvest. We should be like the ant. We should be like the one that gathereth in summer and is a wise son, but not the one that sleepeth in harvest and causeth shame. We should be diligent about the work of the Lord. Are there people that you know that you have yet to talk to about Jesus Christ? Okay, there are some people that I know that I need to talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ. You have people that you know that you still have yet to talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, how long is that going to last? How long are they going to be around? How long are you going to be around? We don't know, do we? How long are you going to have influence? Hey, listen, I moved from Arlington. Now, thankfully, it's only 48 miles away, and I can go back and talk to somebody that I need to talk to about the Lord. But listen, but there are people in my life that I probably will never get to see again that I did not talk to about the Lord, and I missed an opportunity. Well, we need not to be a sluggard. We need not to be slothful. We need not to sleep in harvest. We need to be diligent about the work of the harvest. Hey, thankfully, I like peaches. I planted a peach tree in Arlington. Actually, I planted two peach trees in Arlington. They both died. I don't know why. I think one was because of bugs and the other one because it got too hot. But the couple that we bought the house from has a wonderful white peach tree. There are hundreds of peaches on this tree. It's amazing. And more are dropping off each day. We went back to Arlington to pick up our animals and get some things done for junior camp over there at Trinity Baptist Church. And I walked out to the backyard of our old home, and our pear tree is loaded with pears. I mean, I'm talking, and some of them are the size of a softball. They're just monsters. And I'm going to go back maybe Friday for some more junior camp stuff, and I might come back with some pears, okay? So, we'll see. But you understand, there's a time where they start dropping off the tree. It means they're ready to go. Right? You know what? The farmer wants to harvest the grain before it starts falling out of the husks. He doesn't want it to fall to the ground. He wants to make sure that he's gathering it when it's ready in its prime. And you know what? When a farmer, when it's time to harvest, they harvest. I come from a farming heritage, and when it's harvest time, they don't sleep. I mean, they are harvesting, they're in those fields around the clock. And most of the tractors these days have these big bright lights on them, and they go, because when it's harvest time, it's harvest time. They need that yield up as high as it can so they can get as much per bushel, as many bushels per acre as they possibly can
Because it's their livelihood. Folks, is this not our livelihood? The harvest? The Father's harvest? Turn to John chapter 4. I've mentioned this before in our Sunday school class. In John chapter 4, this is, of course, the story of the Samaritan woman and how she came to Christ with no help of the disciples. You heard what I said, right? Yeah, and I think Jesus was kind of mad about that. Do you notice what he says in the tone with which he says it here in John chapter 4 and verse 34? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, and other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Did you notice here, if you keep reading, it says that many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him because of the disciples that went into town and traded and bought food there and gave out gospel tracts all over the city? Yes? No? No. For the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. You understand that the woman was the one that did the spreading of the gospel. She was the one diligent about the Lord's work, and she just got saved. Folks, we need to make sure that we're diligent in the work of the harvest. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Proverbs 22:29 says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Matthew 25, we know that a servant that is diligent in his business receives a well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You're there in John chapter 4. Flip over a few pages to John chapter 6. I'm just trying to paint a picture or connect the dots, if you will, for this thing about the harvest and being diligent in the harvest. Being steady in application. Constant in effort and exertion. Attentive. Industrious. Not idle or negligent to the work of the harvest. Are you there in verse 35 of John chapter 6? And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and to him... And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, of that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In John chapter 9, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Can anybody notice from the life of Christ and the words of Christ that he was diligent about the Father's work? He cared about it. He ate it, slept it, drank it. I mean, it was his life. He was diligent about it. It was important to him. He was pushing toward a goal. He was pushing his disciples toward a goal. He had something in mind. And listen, as he came to the close of his life, the will of the Father was paramount to him. He was diligent. He was constant. He was exertive in his effort. He was attentive. He was industrious. He was not idle or negligent. Can you, Mrs. Wolverton, thank you. Could you imagine the Lord just sitting around? No, I'm not talking about taking some time off. I'm not talking about resting. I'm not talking about vacation. Just being diligent. Just having an attitude of being diligent. I know it's not always good to tell on your children. I have to work at, as a father, keeping my children diligent. Any other parents out there have trouble with this? Okay. I'll say, hey, bring me a drill. No! Like, come on. Well, I want a drill. I don't want it tomorrow. I want it today. I mean, pick up the pace. Sometimes I feel like in our lives, we do things when we have time, when we are at ease to do things, instead of in the Father's time. Jesus had a great example that he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. That was the attitude of diligence. The ant gathers her food when it's time. The one who is a wise, gathered in summer is a wise son. We need to be diligent in the work of the harvest. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. What's another area we can be diligent in our lives? Proverbs 13. Now, I don't expect you all to be Energizer bunnies, per se. Boom, boom, boom. Okay? But I think we can all grow in this area of diligence. Especially about the harvest. But what about this one? Being diligent to the work of growth. Of growth. All right, here we are. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. You see, these are all elements of growing in the Christian life. They are things that we need to employ to be a better servant of the Lord. I've often said about Christian growth, that if you've been saved 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years, then it should show in your life. It would be strange for me to bring Anna up here and to hold her in my arms and to say to you, Everyone, I'd like to meet my almost 17-year-old daughter, Anna. Isn't she cute? And I'm rocking her back and forth. She's 21 inches long and weighs 8.5 pounds. Okay? You all would have the same question. What's the matter with her? Am I right? You would wonder what kind of disease she had, why in 17 years she hasn't grown, what's wrong with her? Is there some kind of a syndrome or what do they call that? There, you would all be very intrigued about that, wouldn't you? You'd have a lot of questions. So would I. Should it be that way? Then why in our churches across America are there so many baby Christians that have been saved 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years? I got saved in the summer of 1985. I should know more than some people. That was a long time ago. I should have grown. I should know some Bible verses. I should know some doctrine. I should have some things memorized. I should have some things figured out. I shouldn't be a baby Christian sucking on the milk of the Word. I should be eating steak. I should. And everybody said, amen. You understand, God wants us to grow. But if you're not diligent about it, you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow. Anybody like to lift weights or used to like to lift weights? Okay? Or would like to lift weights? Okay. You understand, that's a process. And in order to be successful at it, you've got to be diligent. You've got to be constant. There has to be constant exertion because it's a tearing of the muscle, a rebuilding of the muscle, a tearing of the muscle, a rebuilding of the muscle, a tearing of the muscle. This is making me tired. Hey, you know what Christian growth is? It's tearing the muscle, building the muscle, tearing the muscle, building the muscle, tearing the muscle, building. It's exercise. It takes diligence. It takes constance. It takes exertion. It takes attentiveness, industriousness, not being idle or negligent to your growth. We need to grow. God wants us to grow. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." He says, hey, you need to grow up as a Christian. You need to be found without spot. You need to be found blameless. He says, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. What does God say that we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be stable. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're supposed to grow up to be stable. He says, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. We need to be diligent to grow. We need to be constant and attentive, industrious to grow. Jesus did. As a young teenage boy, the Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. How are you doing in those four areas? You say, I'm done physically growing. That's fine. Maybe this way. Maybe not this way. I love the verses about the righteous soul being made fat. I'm trying. I'm not doing very well, but I'm trying. You understand, though, that we're supposed to be increasing in wisdom. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. God wants us to grow. He wants us to learn. My son, Proverbs chapter 4, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to seek after wisdom. We read about how in Proverbs it says, wisdom doth cry. And she's looking for those who would find wisdom. We know that wisdom is something that God gives to us, and He wants us to have if we'll ask Him for it. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be slothful. He doesn't want us to be malnourished. He doesn't want us to be inferior, underdeveloped. He wants us to be growing Christians. Just recently, I talked to you about 2 Peter chapter 1. I think it was actually about last month during a teen camp. And beside this, giving all... Yeah, that's the word. Diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Is adding growing? Yeah. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. This is a great quality. This is a great characteristic to grow in our lives. Well, diligent in the work of the harvest, diligent to the work of growth. How about this? Turn over to Joshua chapter 22. Children of Israel had a hard time with this one. Moses talked to them about it. Joshua talked to them about it. Several scribes and priests and leaders along the way talked to them about it over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know the most ready resource you have as a believer? Many of us have several of these. Several of these. I know that in my house there are no less than 20 of them. You say, well, duh. But, yeah. But you understand. Huh? Joshua 22:5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. We need to be diligent to study the Bible. To study the Bible. To meditate in God's word. You know what? We need to do what it says in 2 Timothy.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In chapter 3, the same book, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You know what this takes? Diligence. You know why the children of Israel had troubles with being up and down and up and down and up and down in their life with God? Because they would be diligent about the law, the scriptures, the writings, passing them on from generation to generation, and then they'd go to sleep on it. And then they'd get into a bad spot, and they'd wake up. And then they'd go to sleep. And then they'd wake up. And then they'd go to sleep. And then they'd wake up. And then they'd go to sleep. And then they found the book, and they'd tear their clothes, and they'd repent, and they'd cry, and then they'd forget, and they'd go to sleep, and they'd go back into sin. You know what it takes to study the Word of God? Diligence. It takes staying at it. It takes exertion. It takes constant effort, being attentive, industrious. It takes reading or listening if you're an audiobook fan. Hey, whatever. Just get it in you. Rehearse it. Bind it about your neck. Write it upon the tables of your heart. Make it as frontlets between your upon your eyes. Have it everywhere. Put it on the doorposts of your house. Talk about it when you sit in the way and lie down and rise up and all those things. The Word of God needs to be diligently studied. In Jude chapter 1, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God, of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, one of the best ways to study the Word is to share it with somebody else. I tell people oftentimes the best way to learn is to teach. If you've got to show somebody something, you're going to learn it better yourself. That's it. You say, well, some person asked me a question and that helped me to grow in my Christian life. Exactly. Because it made you study and be diligent about studying. You know, we're supposed to be ready to give an answer, aren't we? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What does that take? Diligence. Doesn't it take diligence to study the Word of God to be ready to give an answer to every man? How do you know what they're going to ask you? How do you know what the answers are? Ha! We have to be diligent. We have to learn. We have to grow. We have to be constant. Here's the verse from Wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. You know what? As the Holy Spirit of God came upon the disciples, all in one accord, in one place,
And Peter stood up and beckoning with his hands, he began to speak. And he preached the gospel. And 3,000 people were saved and added to the church. How'd you like to go from 120 to 3,120 in a day? It'd be pretty rough. Oh, but they did it. How'd they do it? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Hey, later on we see 5,000 more people being saved. We see 8,000 people being saved. And then they stop counting. Multiplied multitudes are getting saved after that point. Why? Diligence. Diligence to the word. Did you notice they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship? Hey, they didn't have the whole Bible back then, folks. But they, whatever they did have, they were in it. The people in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures whether those things were so. You see, folks, we've got to be diligent about knowing this book. We need to study the Bible. And I was kind of teasing a little bit about the milk of the word and growing up to the meat, you understand? But we do need to desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let me leave you with just a passage of scripture to kind of settle for you what the word of God should mean to you. We've read this before. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Folks, all of us, your pastor included, have got to learn to be more diligent about the harvest, to be more diligent about growth, and to be more diligent about the study of the Bible. We just need to be more diligent. Diligence is a good attribute. It's a good characteristic. And we need to do things as heartily as unto the Lord because we serve the Lord Christ. It's much better than serving an earthly master. It's much more worth to it. There's a purpose to be diligent. It's not frivolous. It's not vanity. It's reality.